Wonderful. Into the Wonderful. Into the Wonderful. Into
the Wonderful. Hello and welcome to the Fourth Donation Coder Podcast, bringing you thoughts and views, reasoning and rants, and the compressed soul of the DonationCoder.com community. Remember, this podcast can only exist if we can get the continual support and submissions from all of you lovely DC subscribers out there. So if you have an idea for an article, a piece of news that may shatter the very fabric of reality, or even just something you want to say, plug in that mic and get recording. Details at the usual place, www.donationcoder.com. That's www.donationcoder.com.
Ever heard of a little thing called the internet?
This month on the Donation Coder Podcast, Superboy AC has been forced out of his sabbatical to explain to us that sometimes having a skill at something has its downside. Zane reviews XY Plorer File Manager for us. Rover has some news of a game that everyone will want to be playing. And we even have a marriage proposal. But first this.
Hello, this is Cody's servant back again. That's me, Nudwan, or Nudwan, or Nudonny, or whatever, blah blah blah. Mouser and Cody are holding a gun to my head, so I've got to speak to you. And what I'm here to tell you, it's a request. We'd like you very much to come along to the forum and announce yourselves as participants willing to take part in a little project, a little experiment that we're going to be running from September until December. And you may be thinking, what the hell is he talking about? Right, getting things done. I'm sure you've heard of it. If you haven't, you can have a look for it online. You'll find plenty of information. We're going to try and get things done between September and December. This is all for self-motivational purposes. More information will be revealed closer to the date, which we're hoping will be the 1st of September. But you can be assured it will be a fun thing to participate in. Mouser is creating a revolutionary little program to help motivate you. And the intention will be that you'll monitor your progress using this little program, and then you'll be able to share your experiences online. There will be a blogging, well, almost a blogging facility, which will still be part of the forum. But really, the overall idea of the project is to get as many people involved, get these people to actually get things done and feel part of a community where we can all hopefully learn from each other's experience during the project. And if you're still thinking, what exactly is in it for me, i.e. you, then I can reveal there will be a special Cody badge awarded to all successful participants. And of course, your life will never be the same again. Get your list ready of the things you want to do right now. Okay, that's me. I'm off. I'll see you all in September.
DonationCoder.com for connoisseurs of fine software.
And now, let's have a quick look at what happened in the news this month.
Got a Dell laptop? Better get some asbestos underwear. A third reported incident of Dell laptops taking the term hot swappable a little too far is making the popular computer manufacturer a little hot under the collar. The most recently reported incident occurred in November 2005 in Sydney, Australia. This follows reports of two similar incidents in the United States and Japan. All evidence so far points to the batteries, which are lithium-ion based and prone to exploding when hot. So far, no casualties have been reported. Statistically speaking, these types of batteries are fairly safe. Just think of how many products out there contain lithium-ion batteries and how few cases of overheating have been reported. However, it does raise concerns of what would happen if one of these incidents were to occur on, say, a crowded 747, Dell remaining tight-lipped. In other unsurprising news, Microsoft's Vista continues to be a problem child. It's late, it's had features dropped, and now we find out it might be slightly hard of hearing. Microsoft were left slightly embarrassed this month when a tech demo of their speech recognition engine failed to impress the gathered press. The spoken words, "Dear Mom," got interpreted as, "Dear Aunt, let's set to double the killer," which ranks about the same level as a New York cab driver for English language recognition. Way to go, Microsoft. I, for one, can't wait. In a move that surprises no one, Apple is now attempting to fight the use of the term pod by other companies. Cease and desist letters were recently sent to the two companies in question. ProfitPod, a maker of a device that compiles data from vending machines, and TightPod, a manufacturer for laptop covers. Although the ProfitPod device is not functionally similar to an iPod in any way, Apple claims the device looks too similar to its iPod. Apple was quoted as saying, "It has not gone unnoticed that, like Apple's iPod device, the ProfitPod product is a small, flat, round-cornered rectangular device with a display screen." Next month, we expect to see similar letters sent to pretty much every manufacturer of digital cameras ever, as well as representatives of the farming industry who are apparently infringing with their products beans, lentils, peas, and soybeans. It is expected that the snow pea may escape Apple's wrath as, unlike the iPod, the pod of the snow pea is tender and deliciously edible. No word yet on whether Apple is planning an edible iPod.
My dearest Cody, you are my life force, that which drives me to wake up every morning and listen to Devo. You put the cherry on my hot fudge sundae and the icing on my cupcake. You tickle me in ways that if you were really physically tickling me, I'd say, oh yeah, that's the spot. And I'd giggle for days. I know we've had our rough spots, like when I first met you and I was all, STFU bird, give me that coin, Kate, thanks. But it's those obstacles that we've overcome together that make it all so very clear to me that this is the real thing. And in a really lame, emo kid, I'm a cut myself kind of way, I almost look forward to facing more in the future. I'm okay with the fact that you're a bird and that making whoopee, well, it's going to be quite a challenge. But I know that we'll work it out. Me, you, and that gold coin of yours.
DonationCoder.com. It's a good thing our software is clean.
Because you'll want to make sweet, sweet love to it.
How do I make this sound like a review rather than an advertisement? I'm a champion of great software, so let's give it a go. Hi there, I'm Zane Riddling of the Great Software List, and I want to tell you this month of Zyplora File Manager, a program that I found recently that I really like. It's not a new program, but it is really good. According to its pad file, Zyplora is a multi-tab file manager featuring a powerful file search, versatile preview facilities, a highly customizable interface, and an array of unique ways to efficiently automate frequently recurring tasks. Developer is Donald LaSalle of Cologne, Germany. Once again, the Germans show us the way. However, the more you dig into Zyplora, the sooner you discover its power to save you time, which is what we want, and manage your files, which is what we need, in ways no other file manager really allows, or should I say unique ways. Now, like some of you, I'm a huge, huge Directory Opus fan. I love that program. I depend upon that program, and I will continue to use that program because I like it. But the greatest strengths of Directory Opus, which is its complexity and multitude of features, are in turn its weakness for some. In other words, it can be a bit much. Still, Zyplora shares many of the same features that Directory Opus does, even though they're implemented in different ways. Evaluate the program for yourself, you're going to see this. But let's make a surface comparison of the two, shall we? In Directory Opus, you can create shortcuts to folders and files on the toolbar and assign them keyboard shortcuts too. I love that. Zyplora, on the other hand, has a feature that catalogs both files and folders according to your needs. For example, most often opened, recently opened, categorized projects, and so on and so forth. And you get to name the catalog categories, even color them for distinction if you like. There's this catalog window that opens up below the file tree. and it's conveniently toggled by a keyboard shortcut, F8, just like the File Viewer Info panel, F12. When you have a file selected and you click on F12, you can preview just about anything. Its properties, version it may be, you can preview any binary or text file. Really nice on pictures. You can have a raw view of the file. You can have fine files. You can even do reports. It's very, very nice and unique. Zyplora, however, is marketed as a business class file manager, but it simply signifies its target, the power user, the administrator, network administrator, the field tech, or anyone who spends their day accessing a wide variety of files, rather than futzing around, wasting time, which is what I hate, because I ain't got time to waste. More importantly, Zyplora allows you to discard a full subset of utilities, from file renamers to image viewers to file search apps. And I don't say that lightly, because I love my utilities. I need my utilities and I depend upon them. But this program is a little different. If you've used Directory Opus, you understand what difference means here. But here are some other cool things about Zyplora. Keyboard shortcuts were extended throughout the keyboard and mouse. In fact, it fills them up, and that's nice. For example, you can zoom your font size with the control mouse wheel. Very nice. F7 key allows you to toggle back and forth between your last location. Control Shift N creates a new text file right there on the spot. Click on an image, preview it, and it opens in its original size. And that's really nice too. Duplicate a file with an auto suffix number. Shift F5 will calculate folder sizes on the file right there in the file list. That's cool. Control P copies the path and file name to the clipboard. Control Shift P copies just the path. And the list goes on. If you want to see how I've configured Explorer, I've put some screenshots up at anova.org/target/Zyplora. Again, that ULR is anova.org/target/Zyplora, A-N-O-V-A. Here's what's cool about Zyplora. Installing and running the program doesn't change your system or registry. It's highly portable, 100% portable. In other words, it keeps all the configuration stuff, information in an INI file. That's ideal for a USB memory stick, for example, if you're taking this thing. You can even install the whole program on that memory stick too. Because the program is only 751K. Let me repeat that. The program is only 751K, and it does almost as much as Directory Opus. That's incredible. Now, no further files are added anywhere to your system. Nothing's put in the registry but on uninstall information. And running the program doesn't change the system or the registry. Zyplora can be completely removed by running, including uninstaller, or by simply deleting the installed directory. And it goes the extra mile with attentions to detail you won't live without. By providing direct access to Windows system folders such as Control Panel, Recycle Bin, Network Drives, whether mapping or disconnecting and so on, Temp Folder, Full History, several types of self-defined favorites list, selection options, including keyboard shortcut for, guess what, inverted file selection, my favorite. I do use that. I download 100 WAR files and PAR files. Guess what? After I extract those, I got an AVI sitting there. I want to get rid of all the rest. Select that, hit invert, boom, we're out of there. Want more? Well, here's what I suggest. Check out, if for no other reason, download and evaluate Zyplora's file search features. I think you'll really like this. In fact, it was sort of built around its own file search. And that's amazing. I could go on and on about several of the features, but the website does a really good job of highlighting and framing the program. But here's what you need to know. With 1/10 the size and almost half the cost of Directory Opus, Zyplora will make you say wow. And remember, it comes with a lifetime license. So now you get the picture. Now go and check it out for yourself and get Zyplora. Let me know what you think. For DonationCoder.com, this is Zane Ridley. Have a great week.
DonationCoder.com. Preferred by PCs. Never mind the users.
Hi, Superboy, you see you back here again for my podcast portion. After my month-long sabbatical, which I tried extending to 2 months, but Mouser is a very persuasive gentleman, made me an offer I couldn't refuse. So this week, I thought I would talk about the top 5 most annoying thing about being good with computers, and I'm sure it applies to a whole bunch of us here. Let's start with number 5. Well, this is not really that funny, but it's kind of sad. I'm so obsessed with the technology and the computers that I think I've lost appreciation for things that are not technology related. I mean, like art and stuff. Someone shows me a Picasso or some 16th century furniture and I could seriously care less. But show me a nice 3D model of a chair and there'll be a little spark in my eye for that. Seriously, it's gotten so bad that I can barely spend more than $50 on something that doesn't have buttons or light up. I'd be like, what the hell is this, clothing? Food? That's so archaic. I want Superfood Pro 2.0, baby. Anyway, number 4 having to deal with all the lesser beings of this world that we call computer illiterate. Now, I won't even mention the old geezers or anything out of respect, but these hipsters that pretend to know stuff about computers and are just flat out dumb. I mean, they don't know anything. Man, those guys are the worst. And you know that they're the ones that are usually in charge of IT or something at work. It just makes you go crazy. The worst part about it is that I start, you know, developing this high and mighty complex and I start rolling my eyes as soon as someone begins to speak about anything computer related. I don't want to be like that, but, you know, what can I do? Before I know it, I've become the stereotypical computer nerd who is super moody and starts throwing sarcasm and lip to any poor soul that crosses my path. I'm telling you, it's a disease. And you know, I can't do anything about it, it just happens. Which brings me to number 3, being labeled a computer geek. I can't stand this derogatory term. I think it's worse than racism. You know, so I'm good at computers. Why does that make me a geek? Is it a crime to try to master something that can make your life much easier and, heaven forbid, make me successful at everything I do? I'm good at basketball too, but does anyone call me a basketball geek? No, in that case they call me a superstar stud athlete. Well, that doesn't actually happen, they still call me a geek. Apparently the computer part overrides the stud part in this complex world of social status hierarchy. Anyway, number 2. Alright, here's the one that I know all of you do and some of you have figured out the trap and gotten out of it fortunately, but some of us are still in it. Doing computer favors for others and then regretting it for the rest of your freaking life. I remember I was so proud when I built my first computer. I went to my friends, I went to my family, and I said, hey, let me build a computer for you. You know, it'll be great, it'll be way better than the ones you could buy in the store. Well, that was a mistake. Try waking up at 2 in the morning to computer emergencies such as, I can't print, why? Well, try plugging the printer cable the right way. You know how it's a trapezoid? Well, it was somehow plugged in upside down. I still don't know how he forced that thing on there. Or what about dealing with everyone's horrible web browsing and email habits that invite boatloads of spam and viruses that render the computer completely useless? That's the worst. Now you're responsible to clean that mess up, which isn't really... Even once you clean it up, it's just going to come back again. It's because it's their habits, but do they understand that? No. My recommendation, refuse assistance to everybody. If need be, pretend not to even speak English. Alright, number 1... most annoying thing about being good with computers, being so anal about the way the computer works that you go through the trouble to learn how to program and tweak things just the way you like it instead of just dealing with it like normal people. I mean, at some point we just gotta learn to let it go. Not everything is gonna be just the way you like it, you little dictator, you. Oh wait, hold on, I think I just insulted all the coding snackers. Just kidding guys, you know I love them. Alright, I think I'm done for this week, and I'll be back next month probably, unless I could weasel my way out of that one. Alright, see you guys later. Enjoy the month. Bye.
Hey everybody, this is Rover, and after several promptings from Mouser to submit a podcast segment, I finally gave in. You can probably hear in the background, I'm getting ready to play the new Flash game that Mouser and some friends worked on. It's called The Horizon of Infinite Space, and you can find it at foreverflash.com or ff.donationcoder.com. Looks like it's going to be a really great game. I'm pretty excited about being able to try it out. Glad I have high-speed internet right now, because looks like it's going to take a little while to download. Right now I'm validating the Polygon models, and just based on the graphics, this is, looks like it's going to be a really good game, so I'm kind of excited about it. I just thought I'd ramble on about nothing for a while this is loading, and teach Mauser a lesson for prompting for all these segments. Pretty excited about what's going on at Donation Coder. I mean, take Mauser. I mean, he takes time out of his busy schedule to create a really cool game, Flash game like this, and gives it away for free. I mean, that is just really cool. It's got a voice data in it, so I'm decompressing that now. So this is going to be really cool when it finally starts working here, when it finishes loading. I'm loading level one, and this must be a huge game. He must have spent a lot of time working on it. I just hope everybody really appreciates, you know, what he's done for us here. And well, I don't want to waste a whole lot of time here just waiting for this to load. I'll submit another segment when I get a chance to actually play the game and have reviewed it. Let everybody know, you know, how far I've gotten, because I like to do that kind of stuff. I'm really into Flash games, so I'm going to let this load, and maybe I'll create another segment then when it gets done. Talk to you guys later.
Hi, this is Della again, and I'm here with Gothic, and we're going to discuss a little bit about the differences between Flash and your normal graphical gaming whatever thing, I don't know. Because I've noticed that a lot of people on the DC forum have been talking about Flash, showing a lot of the different Flash games and things like that. So I know Gothic, for one, doesn't like to use Flash, and we're going to find out why. So Gothic, tell me, why don't you like to use Flash?
Because many Flash animations or games don't work with all platforms. For example, the Linux version of Flash exists only up to Flash 6, I think it was, and they now have Flash version 9, so all Flash animations and games that are made with the newer version won't be compatible. So basically, that means that a lot of people won't be able to view your stuff that you've made. Also, I don't think that it's a good idea to put contents that, like, they have, that Flash provides on web pages. Like, as far as I'm concerned, web pages should be just text. I don't even like pictures.
Yeah, I found that out when you were working on a program for me.
Yeah.
You didn't even want to put a butterfly picture up.
No, that's because it was supposed to be used in a dial-up connection.
Mm-hmm.
And it would take longer, a lot longer, to load your page.
So, I know that you're doing this big, elaborate program and things, and you're studying the OpenGL, and I know we had tried an interview before that didn't get very good. So, can you explain to me again, like, why, or whatever we were talking about, GL wasn't that good because it was a lot harder and more intricate?
It's good, I like it. It's good, but it's harder than... Look, OpenGL is not a 3D engine. It's an interface to talk directly to the graphics hardware. So if you're going to use OpenGL to make a game, you have to make a 3D engine first. So that's going to take you a whole lot longer than using an already existing 3D engine.
But then you can make your own 3D engine and do it exactly the way you want it to.
That's true.
But you were saying earlier to me that you didn't really like it so much.
It's just because my beef with it is that I don't really like the syntax and the way it handles things. But that's just because my mind is more C++ oriented than it's C oriented. So I'm more used to working with a little bit more high level stuff. That doesn't mean I rule out all the low level stuff, but yeah.
So you can make, like, the OpenGL stuff to be compatible with most anything.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's the best feature about OpenGL. Like, DirectX games work only on Windows, but OpenGL games, they work on any platform.
They work on Linux. They work on portable devices.
But let me ask you about Flash. Could somebody with no experience in this make a Flash thing? Is Flash more geared to people who are like computer stupid like me?
Yeah, I'd say like Flash isn't really programming, although it does support it has a scripting language, but
it's kind of like what cartoonists used to do back in the day.
Yeah, it's very much like that.
I wonder if I can do a Della Flash.
We'll have to try that one day.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Gothic, for your input.
No problem.
Well, that's all from us for this month. Remember to submit your articles, your rants, and your raves for next month's podcast. Details at the Donation Coder forums, www.donationcoder.com. You wouldn't want kitten blood on your hands.